Further to that energy thing, Hassan Assad in Syria said yesterday that he'd use nerve gas on two-thirds of Israel if they bugged him too much. And I forget what the Israelis said back. And today there's a high traffic in Alberta Natural Gas, an unusually high traffic with shares, which can't be explained out there. So I still don't think it means anything, but it's still energy, and it could go back to the Middle East. So I figured I'd just add it to what I told you already. Catch you later.
Bobby, 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 Bobby waits for no one.
Human health, but we have established that there is a very, very strong connection between the important work of Doctors for Bob and the Rockefellers. These 22s just keep showing up because it referred to that New York State study where the conclusion was that close proximity to power lines raises the odds of children getting cancer from 1 in 10,000 to 2 in 10,000. And the way in which the CBC's journal chose to illustrate that was to show a drawing of a child and then one of those building blocks with numbers on it. And they chose to position the building block just so that a number two and another number two was facing the screen. And there you go. It's pretty clear now that Bob and Connie are working for the Rockefellers. The old Sony tape was a giveaway before, but now it's clearly established. Hope you caught that one. Bye.
Okay, mic update. You're not on.
Oh.
You doing the Mike Hansen technique?
Or? Oh, I know. Things are screwed up here. Okay.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome back.
Oh, Frank was good. Frank was great. I was good. Have we got messages?
No, not yet.
No phones yet?
No phone calls yet.
Okay, don'ts for new sub-geniuses, Mike. We got a lot of high school kids listening, and I thought I'd put out some don'ts right away. You know, what to do when you're in class in the pink prison. First, don't get into science fiction values discussions. Or trust a teacher who dwells on science fiction in his teaching. Don't deal with that. Don't discuss the future or future... Oh, gee, Mike. Oh, it just turned down, eh?
Yeah, just, I think that's it. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Just bleeding through your headphones.
Yeah, okay, kids. This is for high school people.
And as you say, there are a lot of young people listening to this show.
Yeah, and the ratings are going up on that age group.
And we don't want to be responsible for any I don't know, any accidents.
Yeah, so this is the guidelines dealing with subgenius dogma and the new perceptual breakthroughs and what you should do when you get back into the pink prison tomorrow. This is Wednesday. Yeah, it'll be in tomorrow. Don't discuss the future or future social arrangements or governments in class. Don't do that. Don't discuss values. Don't write a family history. Don't answer personal questions or questions about members of your family. Don't play blindfolded games in class. Don't exchange opinions on political or social issues. Don't write an autobiography. Don't keep a journal of your opinions, activities, and feelings. Mike does that, but that's why he knows he came here in August 1984. Hey, you keep a diary, but that was before he knew me. Don't take intelligence tests. Write tests only on your lessons. Force others to judge you on personal achievement. That's the way you become a personal groovy subgenius, man. Work on your personal character, right? Don't discuss boy-girl or parent-child relationships in class. Don't do that. Don't confide in teachers, particularly sociology.
They'll turn you in.
Yeah, or social studies or English teachers. Don't judge a teacher by his appearance or personality, but on his competence as a teacher of solid knowledge. Don't submit to psychological testing. Don't think a teacher's doing you a favor if he gives you a good grade for poor work or in useless subjects. Don't join any social action or social work groups. That sounds like C. Kelly, doesn't it? Don't take social studies or future studies. Demand course definition, history, geography, civics, French, English, stuff like that. Don't role play or participate in sociodrama. This is all the stuff that Mike took in the 70s. I just know it. Don't worry about the race or color of your classmates. Education is of the mind, not the body, Mike. Remember that one. Don't get involved in school-sponsored or government-sponsored exchange or camping programs. Which place you in the homes of strangers. These are rules for some geniuses.
I did that.
I bet you 90% of the people who are listening have done this.
Sure.
Don't fall for books like Future Shock by Alvin Toffler, which are intended to put readers in a state of panic about change, in quotes, change, so they will be willing to accept slavery. Advances in science and technology don't drive people into shock. That's what this is a side thing here. Advances in science and technology don't drive people into shock. It is government and vain brain intrusions in private lives which cause much of the unbalance in nature and in people. Don't get into classroom discussions which begin, what would you do if? What if? Should we? Do you suppose? What is your opinion of? Who should? What might happen if? Do you value? Is it moral too? Don't sell out important principles for money, a scholarship, a diploma, a popularity, or a feeling of importance. You see, none of these things are advocated by Stang. Hey, Mike, addressing you, Mike. None of these things are advocated. Okay. Don't think you have to associate with morally corrupt people or sanction their corruption just because society now accepts such behavior. Okay, these are things that obviously are not advocated by Reverend Stang. Hey, this is the exact opposite. This is Bob's curriculum for high school students. Man, we got CRTC hearings today?
Didn't we?
We might, so that's why I'm putting this out, just to cover
that. It's a public service announcement.
Yeah, now look, here's a tetrad, Mike. A tetrad on the microphone. That's us, all right?
Okay.
What does the microphone enhance? It enhances the torch singer who whispers in everybody's ear. Okay, that's the microphone. It enhances the inflated persona for everyone to wear. Hey, man, that sounds like me. That sounds like Bob, right? The inflated persona for everyone to wear. The private individual voice, the intimacy of Bob. What does it obsolesce? Private space and privacy. It obsolesces the big band, the old-fashioned orator, or the big mouth. All right? And what does the microphone retrieve? The close group, the tribal moan, that's the church, right? And it retrieves intimacy, the cozy nightclub, all right? This is the microphone, the PA system. And when pushed to extreme, it flips into the closed collective space, the wraparound sun bubble. I'll cuckold the cockeyed whale. That's from Finnegan's Wake. I'll cuckold the cockeyed whale. All right? And if the Altamira Buffalo Cave... If the drawings in the Altamira Caves, Mike, we'll call it the buffalo shape in the Altamira Caves. If the Altamira buffalo is a prayer, then the Chinese ideograph is a probe, and the later alphabet is a package. With the ideograph, we begin to move from the reverential, R-E-V, to the referential, R-E-F. As the bounding line ceases to be stressed, there is steady lessening of involvement in process. There is steady strengthening of visual values and detachment. That's as the bounding line ceases to be stressed. In contrast to phonetic letters, the ideograph is a vortex that responds to lines of force. It is a mask of corporate energy. And the other pattern, Mike, this is all stuff, you know, backlogged. Stuff that I had to ignore while on a summit meeting in the Caribbean. The 19th century was a battle between the banker versus the artist in a complementary sense. I mean, you know, they faked conflict. The 19th century, banker versus the artist. The 20th century, scientist versus the mystic. And in the 21st century, Philly, Bob versus the church. Complimentary, right? Which church? That's for us to find out. Okay, Mike, let's get into some news. Just coming off the summit. Those are minutes from the summit, Mike. Frank was good. I was better. And the main point of the summit in the Caribbean was to deal with the complaints of the Latin American contingent, which is getting angry that all the funding is going to Eastern Europe from the World Bank, and they want some money. They're going to be on the news agenda over the next 6 months. I had to organize the Global Solar Theater approach to how to deal with this. High profile of the Latin American group, Ibero-American, how it will please plead for money as the money dwindles into Eastern Europe and the Holy Roman Empire coming up soon, Fortress Europe, right? That's so what it was about.
From that fast-paced introduction, has a theme evolved for tonight?
Yeah, I think, I'm just sitting on the fence, waiting for a friend. I'm just waiting for a friend, Mike. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you sing it? Jazz, waiting for a friend.
I can't sing it as well as you.
Yeah, I got it. I think, you know, Mick. Yeah. Mick and Keith, right?
Yeah.
Sitting down in Harlem. And I'm just waiting for a friend because tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow, what happens? April 19th, 19th is Bob number. Summit with the X's, private conference with Bob. We'll get the pattern for the next 6 months, and we'll be way ahead again on the predictions prophecy game, though we will deny anything ourselves. Right? Right? So summit tomorrow, so we're waiting in between. So I thought, what do we do until tomorrow? Why don't we let's play a greatest hit. Let's play something that we haven't heard. That's right, Mike goes the cue. He starts to look over the tape, take out the old one, put in the new one. Side two, Mike. This hasn't been played on CKLN maybe in 4 years. And I want everybody to have their tapes ready. They're going to need this one. This is going to finally define it for them. We're going to finally replay Dr. Beter explaining for the 90s. As he did 4 years ago for the 80s, what's he going to explain? He's going to define organic robotoid. We haven't heard this played on CKLN in years. And so this is it. We had some calls.
We had some calls.
Last show. Yeah. Everybody was confused about the organic robotoid, so I thought I'd go back into the vaults and let's play Dr. Beter defining the organic robotoid, giving you the details. Now, this was in May 1979. This is 11 years ago, tape number 46, audio letter number 46. This is 5 minutes, Mike, just 5 minutes. If you got any calls, call in and just get in line. We'll deal with this theme. Maybe the theme tonight will be organic robotoids, or we can continue the theme of heaven from a month ago, or the theme from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I thought we could talk a little bit about the artist strike, too. And maybe
as media callers, yeah, I'm all for the artist strike, Mike. I learned from you, it's from Europe, and via Wayne Morris, right?
Okay, so
Frank Zappa. I opened for Frank. I love that. I opened for Frank. And Vaclav Havel, we got it straight. All right, so this is Dr. Beter, May 1979. Get your little recorders ready because this will be something that you can play in class tomorrow to your teachers. This is a fact. This is a percept from Dr. Beter, the organic robotoid. We haven't heard it for 4 years. Dig away, Mike.
It has now been over a quarter century since the crucial discovery of the DNA double helix. And since then, research in molecular biology has not been standing still, but speeding up. In some cases, research has gone in directions which are deliberately sheltered from publicity because of the fear of public reaction. Not so long ago, for example, universities doing research into artificial microbes found their neighbors in an ugly mood when they found out about it. Test tube babies are now a reality, and that began not long ago in England, where the mystery of DNA was first unraveled. Then, of course, there are clones, that is, creatures which are reproduced by artificial means and which are exact duplicates of an original. Clones of all kinds of animals have been produced successfully in the laboratory, but that is not what bothers people. In the recent past, it has been claimed that human clones are also possible, and that some may already be in existence. These last claims about human clones have been ridiculed, denied, and suppressed by all kinds of officials. The reason is that the idea of duplicate human beings impinges upon a super-secret realm of intelligence activities by both Russia and the United States. True clones are not involved, but something that bears a superficial resemblance to cloning is going on. And the last thing the powers that be want is for you and the public to have any hint about what is afoot. In Russia, as well as in the West, research has been underway for many years in biological synthesis, that is, artificial life forms. And according to high intelligence, a stunning breakthrough took place in Russia some years ago. The Russians refer to this breakthrough as a providential discovery, something they learned almost by accident. They discovered the key to creating what are known as organic robotoids. An organic robotoid is an artificial robot-like creature. It looks and acts exactly like a human being, and yet it is not human. A robotoid is alive in the biological sense, but it is an artificial life form. Robotoids respond to conventional routine medical tests in the same way as humans do. They eat, they drink, they breathe, they bleed if cut, and they can be killed. Robotoids can also think, but they think only in the sense that a computer thinks. Like any other computer, the brain of a robotoid has to be programmed for each assignment it is given. But unlike many electronic computers, the biological computer brain of a robotoid possesses an enormous memory. As a result, robotoids can be programmed to communicate and think in such complex patterns that they act human. Organic robotoids are remarkable creatures, but they have many drawbacks. They don't grow or reproduce, but must be manufactured one by one in the desired form. They also have a very limited lifespan, measured in months or even weeks, depending upon how they are utilized. This is due to the fact that their metabolism, while it resembles that of humans, is very inefficient. A robotoid can be manufactured on very short notice, matter of hours. But after a few weeks or months, it suddenly begins to degenerate physically and mentally. When that takes place, the robotoid has to be removed from service and disposed of. To extend its useful life as much as possible, a robotoid is customarily cooled down to slow its metabolism between assignments. Organic robotoids are extremely expensive, troublesome creatures to produce and utilize. And robotoid capabilities do not exceed those of human beings. All they can really do is simulate human beings. But, my friends, for intelligence purposes, that's all they have to do. To produce an organic robotoid, it is necessary to have a pattern to go by. The pattern required is that of genetic coding, taken from a few cells from the body of a human being. In this respect, the Russian technique sounds like cloning, but the technique itself is totally unrelated to genuine cloning. A robotoid is produced within a matter of hours and assimilates the human donor at his current age. Like any man-made copy of anything, a robotoid is never a perfect copy of the human that is to be simulated. There's always small discrepancies in appearance and behavior, but these are seldom great enough to arouse any suspicion. When the initial Russian breakthrough in robotoids took place years ago, the Rockefeller-Soviet alliance was still functioning. The Christian group who now rule Russia were already secretly more powerful than the Bolsheviks, but the final overthrow had not yet taken place. When the robotoid breakthrough took place, they moved quickly to minimize the amount of information obtained about it by those Bolsheviks still retaining positions of power. They also tried to prevent information about it from leaking through intelligence channels to the CIA. Nevertheless, partial information did reach the CIA and the late four Rockefeller brothers. By early 1975, the Russians were known to have successfully created at least one organic robotoid in the laboratory. Meanwhile, the CIA was coordinating a feverish research effort aimed at accomplishing the same feat. Up to now, robotoid technology in the United States is far behind that of Russia. The American capability in robotoids is not even close to being operational, whereas the Russians are deploying them right now.
Dr. Beter, May 1979, audio letter number 46.
Still sends chills up the back of my spine.
Oh, CKLN will do very well the fundraising this fall with the result of playing that. We did very well the very first year we had a fundraising because we played that. Hasn't been played in 4 or 5 years. Mike, you're off again. You're down, Mike.
Hello?
Dr. Beter did it? The Mike Hansen stuff.
Did them plug a mic over
there? Yeah, check the mic there, Phil.
No, it's fine.
Coming on. Oh, hello. Yeah, it's a bad connect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, great, Mike. We got all kinds of calls, but you want to talk about Art Strike, or should we take a call?
Let's go right to the call.
Okay.
Hi, CKLM. Hello. Hello. I know you're there. Hi. Say hi, Bob.
Hi. Hi. Hi, caller. Are you one of the kids who need the don'ts? You want that redone for you? Don't discuss the future or future social arrangements or governments in class. Don't discuss values. Don't write your family history. Let's go to the next caller, Mike. This silent person.
I hate to give up.
This is 3 weeks ago. This is that same person or group. This is, you know who this is. It's Bob's evil brother, Dick Dobbs. Did we get any other? It was Dick Dobbs. He's speechless when he gets discounted with me. He has so much to say.
It is the person calling back, and this time maybe it'll work. Hello? Hello? You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay, I want to have sex, right? I always have pain, right? I need to have sex. We have certain time. I get a pain right on my tummy.
I think you have the wrong phone-in show, man.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Is that your tape, Dave?
No, that's not my tape. That's just somebody I'm with who decided to put it on the air.
Well, you know we can't play that kind of stuff, right?
I know. That's
Come on,
great.
Dave. I don't trust you anymore. You haven't called in 3 shows. You're over there at the Big Garrett knocking Dobbs Sound Food Headquarters, Baldwin. You know, what are you up to, Dave? Explain yourself. You probably still ain't political, you dummy. You never listen to International. Was International Connection on Sunday? Tell me. Was it on? Or the tape doesn't look like it was played. Was it played?
No. Tell me.
Did you listen? No.
No.
Yeah, you liar. Go ahead, man.
Oh,
yeah, okay. I was on vacation, Dave. You never had a vacation like I had. I drifted along the coast of Tobago to Baba Go, in other words. Trinidad and Tobago. I drifted in a boat, man. I didn't have to engage with the locals at all. I was swimming up and down the waves, doing a little coral reef or coral tradition. If someone said,
Listen,
Sean,
I'm going in the summer, Bob.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Out to Vancouver, see your subgenius buddy. Yeah, that's all you do for vacations.
Well, listen, it's more acoustic space than Toronto. Toronto's proto-literate visual space, right?
Tells me, Dave! You might cut me off! Don't do that, buddy! No, Dave, you don't even know we don't use visual and acoustic. We use kinetic and telekinetic.
Tactile.
Kinetic, what's telekinetic?
Tactile space.
That's right, versus kinetic, right?
Right.
Okay, so why did you bring up oral tradition?
Well, your topic of organic robotoids?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I lucked out and I found a copy of McLuhan's take today.
Oh,
and after perusing that for a few days, I was wondering, is Bob an organic robotoid of Marshall McLuhan?
No. No, I'm an organic robotoid of all 9 holy offices.
Oh.
You know, Zappa, LaRouche, Mae Brussel, Herbert W. Armstrong, Sunday morning at 11:30 on Global TV. You want to catch Herbert W. Armstrong? James Joyce, Spinning His Wake, Frank Zappa. What else? You know,
Cosmic awareness.
Yeah, cosmic awareness, yeah. That's what I'm an organic robotoid of. Surrogate president, right? The automated nobody.
Okay.
Bobenstein.
A compilation.
A collage.
Right.
Yeah. So what about it? Was McLuhan right? Was he on the right track with his book?
Sure.
Have you got it right there?
No.
Well, you should, because we could open to the last page and we'll explain the quote. You remember the very last page where he says, reinventing yestermorrow?
Yeah.
What does that mean, reinventing yestermorrow? That's our job. And he says, we've got to move from replaying tribal unconscious replays to
Well, just
to
he's
what?
Talking about the present replaying the past.
Yeah, particular past, tribal replays.
Yeah.
Now we can program the conscious, not the tribal unconscious. You know how you do that? You do it through Finnegan's Wake. You know how to use Finnegan's Wake?
I never looked at it as a dictionary.
Oh, no, yeah, you don't look at it as a dictionary. Do you know how to use it?
As a collage.
That's right. Now, what's the most recent collage? Cassette culture, right? Mixing up sound bites, right?
Right.
And Finnegan's Wake's already got that. That's that friend of yours.
Hey.
That's a parrot.
Yeah, in the background.
Nice.
Feed the parrot.
Yeah, she's your friend who doesn't listen to my tapes, right? She won't listen. She's the one who can't take it, right?
That's not her.
Okay, these sound bites, Finney's Wake is a collage of sound bites, right?
Yeah.
It had the pattern 40 years, 50 years ago. That's amazing.
Well, that's just...
Tell your kids in school
okay,
to
well, listen,
study it. Study the goddamn book, you know?
Listen, man.
Look at that book.
Okay,
oh, yeah,
Bob.
Right, yeah.
To me, it oversimplifies. Like, it's a very big factor that the electric environment creates all these side effects. Like you say, that the movie era created the interest in occult and that. And I can see that as a factor, but I can't see it as a total impetus for creating ways of social change like that. Like, there's an evolutionary thing going on, not always just a flip. Like, it's still a feed forward into the future or complexities and intellectual world and things.
Dave, you got to get this evolutionary thing half slipped from your brain. You see, evolutionary is cyclical. Okay?
But
or spiral, maybe. Maybe like that word, right? Spiral?
Okay, but it's it's spiraling up. It's spiraling
right.
out larger.
Now that spiraling up and out and larger is embedded inside the simultaneity of all time. And you know that. So you can't focus just on evolution. That's only half the story. That's going on at the same time.
Well, I'm saying that's happening independent of the regurgitation of past cultures into an all-inclusive present.
Well, that's what the tetrad is. That's what the retrieval is. The cliches come back as new archetypes. The old comes back anew.
But like you're saying that there's no entrance or no growth or added complexity or beauty, that everything is just a reaction from the discarnate effect of electricity.
Oh, no. I mean, this is so basic. I think Philly could take over, Philly. Explain to him. Yeah, Philly, rather not. I'm still the boss. No, that many subgenuses don't see that your blindness on this matter, Dave. You don't understand, Dave. You just don't understand. You're reading the right stuff, but you see, you're afraid to read LaRouche. See, you got to get out of McLuhan. Forget the McLuhan stuff. You know, it's good you got tape today, but go read LaRouche. Go listen to International Connection. Study Dr. Veeder and listen to Herbert Armstrong. You know, that's what you need, Dave. Go work at Loblaws. See, I'll give you some process pattern recognition. they know, Dave. They know. Your buddies are turning against you, Dave.
True. Have turned it against me?
No, they're agreeing with me. Your buddies, you know.
Well, I spend most of the time just doing shiatsu when I'm not, like, wasting time or filling in time.
You're wasting other people's time.
What? Wasting other people's time?
Yeah, you. You, Dave, of all people, here in Toronto, you are one of the prime wasters of other people's time.
Clean. Funny thing, I was planning the next day to go out and do a little cleaning myself and put a sort of something to keep the birds from falling down, which they had.
Oh,
that I was to have no stone.
Oh, nice.
I think I sent it that cold.
No, that Dave's still there.
No, he's not.
Okay, you want to talk about the art strike?
Not unless you have other topics you want to move on to. But no, you brought it up before, and I just...
Yeah, I think Dave needed a good spanking. He missed 3 shows. We had to get him out of his groove, you know, his eternal...
You were being somewhat aggressive, though. You just came right out like Ben Johnson and just...
Ben Johnson. Oh, I thought you meant Shakespeare's buddy. yeah, John Dryden and, Sidney Spencer, right? Sir Sidney Spencer. Remember that great dead literature? You mean Ben Johnson, right? Let's make it a warning tonight. All you regular callers, no more Nice Bob. It's Tough Bob tonight. So get ready, Dublin. Get ready, Sean. Let's go. Bob's a woman tonight. He's waking up that right hemisphere images, right hemisphere energy. You get ready to defend your turf and make some new ground. The show 3 weeks ago was I don't feel I'm on, Mike. See, you're off. See, Mike's off again.
That's the...
Yeah, okay. Every time Philly moves.
It is Philly.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah. So,
I'm breaking up.
Okay. It's okay, Mike, right? You all right?
I think so. I'm there now. Okay.
Okay, so when you had this pattern of the banker versus the artist, they were conflicting figures in the 19th century. They then merge in an incestuous Andy Warhol kind of art market, $500 million for a painting, right, in the 20th century. They were the ground of the 19th century. They become passé figures in the 20th. So if the ground of the 20th century is the scientist versus the mystic, then you'll see the scientist and the mystic merge in Dave kind of dogma about evolutionary telepathy leading to ever denser retrievals of the past with much more richer tapestries, right? That what Dave is spewing is dogma about the scientist versus the mystic, which is ground in the 20th century, but will be figure and anesthetic figure in the 21st century. But, of course, the ground of the 21st century will be Bob versus the church. Now, does that mean Herbert W. Armstrong's true church or the Catholic church or the subgenius church? It won't be known until the 22nd century when it is anesthetic figure, right? It'll be ground in the 21st century. That's just a little elaboration. We got some difficult days ahead, Mike.
Indeed.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Anonymity has its place. Have we gone again, Mike?
It's okay. I think I'm still there.
Yeah, I'm on.
We really have problems with this mic, so it's...
we've got some
I never have anything to say anyway.
We've got some difficult days ahead. Okay, let's go into heaven. All right, we got any calls?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, it's going to be an aggressive call. Let's take it.
I don't know if the caller's ready.
Hey.
It's Dave.
Oh, I got my friends under control, Bob.
Oh, great, Dave. Are you back for round two?
Round two, Bob.
Take a swipe, your evolutionary dip.
Okay, so, like, this is just Marshall McLuhan's paradigm, and Marshall McLuhan said that paradigms weren't even, you know, it was a joke. A paradigm was a joke. It wasn't a percept. It was a concept. How does your perceptual awareness and understanding, how's it so superior and all-inclusive compared with, say, another individual who's come up with his own paradigm or his own system of perceptual understanding?
Because mine doesn't last more than 4 nanoseconds. I'm into the next percept that fast. Rapid change of ground. You know, when you took LSD, Dave, remember when how quickly the ground dissolved right in front of you?
Yeah.
It's called chaos science, you know. They show tapestries melting and melting, basically. All right?
Right.
Well, that kind of LSD experience that you've had, Dave, that would account for why you're not at Loblaws and over at the Big Carrot, and LSD did it to you, then that's what I am. Bob is LSD in that way, and it's the electric ground. You see, that's why I can move from LaRouche to McLuhan to Skolnick to Mark Lane to William Irwin Thompson to Noam Chomsky to Henry Kissinger to Shirley MacLaine to Omar to Stephen Hawking to Dr. Beter to Euclid to Mae Brussels to Zappa to Beefheart to Beatles and James Joyce rapidly.
But those are just icons or individuals' theories that are interesting to you, like other...
No.
What about other percepts from other areas that you haven't mentioned? Like, you've just fragmented into all your holy offices, but outside of that, there's other holy offices.
Yeah, that's right. I'm ready to talk. You bring some up. Bring some up.
Well, it seems like you're not too well-versed in any spiritual things because you immediately discount it as a side effect of electricity.
Look, okay, just for the sake of your groin, just for the sake of your groin, let's go spiritual. Forget the electric. Okay, do me. Okay.
The gaping maw has got lip lock on the discarnate penis, Bob.
Okay, listen, man. I've astral projected. I soul projected. I massaged Paul Twitchell's wife, okay?
Yeah. And John Lilly's, too.
Yeah, John Lilly's. You remember that's in the archives. And I'm actually haven't eaten in 4 weeks. I'm a breatharian.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, because I got the D-cell. I cheat a little bit. I got the D-cell water. I don't have to eat. You know, I just got high energy. But I'm very spiritual. I can drop off.
Well, although I work at a health food store, I'm not really interested in hoiking up the idea of natural foods or being aligned to that movement of LSD or
whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You had to grow out of that.
Well,
but look, do you tell me when I'm not spiritual, man? I've toyed with the best of them: Allen Ginsberg, Chogyam Rinpoche, Alan Watts, Krishnamurti. I know all those guys. I've been with them.
Okay.
You know what, in Krishnamurti?
Forget to remember, right? Remember to forget.
I don't know. I never read Krishnamurti.
Oh, then you ain't spiritual if you done him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I bypassed him.
I done yoga. I've done Renge no Yokio. You know Jack Nicholson in The Last Detail.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. No. Tackle me on the spiritual. I can do it.
Well, it's just to me, it's like another file. It'd be another file to you, like a good knowledge. Like you have an overview of everything.
Look, Dave, you've met me personally. I'm a very spiritual person in person, right? Regardless
yeah.
of what I know, you know the vibes come out of me. I'm so positive.
But you don't acknowledge it, though, because you're trying to supersede it by saying Marshall McLuhan's percept, right?
Well, I don't want to brag. That's how you're spiritual, right? If I focused on me too much, it would be rather monotonous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I focus on all the holy offices that give other people a chance. It's logical.
Okay.
It's perceptual. You know.
Okay, okay, Bob. Let's hoik up some Ekankar that was talked about 3 weeks ago.
Okay,
let's go
Ekankar
to heaven again.
Yeah, okay, okay. Sam off.
Okay, most people that call in and bring up a subject are usually tripped into your theories, like it gets twisted around and you tell them about
that's
McLuhan.
Right.
And
yeah,
I
go back into the party line. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
We won't do it this time. We're going to go into new territory, Dave.
Yeah, new territory. This whole talk of what you're talking about, the different levels of heaven and Sach Khan, just came out of nowhere. And how does it relate to the other holy offices and the effect of electricity?
It makes the other holy offices and electricity look puny. I mean, you know, you've been to heaven, I've been to heaven, nothing compares to it, right? Well, I wish man would drop all of his preoccupations with gadgets. I wish we'd just, you know, dematerialize. You know, we could do it, too. We get into breatharianism, take a lot of acid, man, we could do it. Desal water, we could dematerialize.
Yeah, but it has its effect on the body, and you got to co-work and be more comprehensive.
Oh, right? Now you come back to the body, see?
Well,
you're holding up.
Otherwise,
I want to kill myself.
Otherwise, you're dissolving in acoustic space. If you're just
no, it's not acoustic.
There's
no such thing as acoustic. This guy's got the party line. There's no such thing as acoustic space. Dave, where'd you get that percept?
Kinetic.
Genetic?
Kinetic, yeah, genetic.
Genetic. Listen, you ever watched a movie?
Once in a while, I take one in.
I never did. I never watched a movie.
You never watched a movie?
No.
But do you have a TV in your house?
No. I don't have anything, Dave.
Well, you got some Time magazines.
No, Time magazines. I just
Dr. Beter's tape.
No, they were handed to me. I don't have anything. I am possessionless. I am spiritual. I'm Mayor Baba. I'm Mayor Baba and what he meant to say, but it took him 33 years to, you know, get it out on his little blackboard, and he had to use hand signals for the
Well,
bond,
that's
right?
Just because you're hoiking yourself up electrically.
Yeah, isn't it about time someone did? Someone took this metaphor and gave it the exceed the grasp beyond our reach? You know, gave it the old what for?
It's great.
Yeah. It's spiritual.
Okay.
Okay, let's go back to the topic, Dave. Ekankar, you know, we get distracted. See how we went into Ekankar and you start hoiking up Bob Dogman and flashed it back at me, right?
Okay, well, we were just talking about that. Really, of course, anything you really want to discuss is like part and parcel of that.
Okay, Dave, we'll have to hold off the third round. Come back to the third round, Dave. Mike's cutting you off, okay? You failed. You know what I mean? That's spiritual enough, okay? Okay, we're Dave. Third round coming up, right?
Sorry, I wasn't... I'd like to make room for other callers.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, when that happens, people feel intimidated. They don't want to call in, so...
I'm ready, Mike.
Let's move on. Church of the Subgenius Show. My name is Michael Dyer with J.R. Bob Dobbs. It's been 3 weeks. I know... People are out there. People have questions. And we have an aggressive
statement.
Bob.
A new Bob.
He's ripping around a rope.
Bob's flying.
Who wants confrontation? So I think we've got another caller. 595-1478 is a number if you have a question. Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Yo.
That person.
Kent's going over there now to talk to me.
What did the little label say that Kent held up? I couldn't look at it.
Bad Bob.
Bad Bob.
Me? Or Bad Bob's on the phone?
Bad Bob's the name of a group, actually.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Hello.
I am on an island because my islands are impossible.
We played that.
I am the last remaining Secretary
of. It was on my.
That's we've heard this before.
Yes, this person's broadcasting.
So now we don't need to hear it again.
Dude, it just gives you such a powerful hit, right? To just hang up the phone, man, and disconnect thousands of people. Mike, bring up your art strike. Let's talk as if Bob doesn't.
Well, first of all, I just want to interject, and I know we're trying to stay away from Marshall McLuhan, but I read an interesting story on Marshall McLuhan.
Just when we dropped Marshall,
well,
Mike gets
it. But it was a really nice story. It was it was written by Tom Wolfe.
Yeah.
You play with that story?
The one in the topless place?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a famous story. That's
an old article. I guess it was written around 65.
What If He Is Right?
Yeah.
It's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you see that?
There's like a couple of sort of best of Tom Wolfe.
Oh, Purple Decades or something.
No, not the Purple Decades. No. There's some new reissues or something.
Okay. So you're reading that. And
I just came across it. I was reading this volume. I didn't even know it existed in the volume. And then What If He Is Right? It's just a really nice. Just I like the way he laid it out.
Well, that was the article that made McLuhan famous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Understand Media came out in 64. That article was written in 65, and yeah. Marshall's ratings went way up.
But I love the story about going into the strip joint.
Yeah, the topless. It was just the beginning of the topless bed.
Right, and they went into a bar of a restaurant where the waitresses were topless. And Tom Wolfe described how everyone felt speechless and uneasy and uncomfortable because this was supposed to be a meeting, but they wanted to go and experience this place. It was San Francisco, I guess.
Yeah.
And he said, well, everyone felt really uneasy except for McLuhan.
The Catholic who went to Mass every day.
Right, who just took in the whole situation and came up with a conclusion.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, he said, they're wearing us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's another line that he put in a later book, Cultures of Business. He also said to the waitress that this situation is the thin edge of the trial balloon. Remember the silicone breasts? The thin edge, he said, this situation is the thin edge of the trial balloon.
Okay,
we
have another call, so let's wrestle with Bob. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Zony Droid here. Okay,
Andrew, when
to check out the Axis last week?
Oh yeah, give us a report because I was away.
Well, to be quite honest, I didn't find it that exciting. You know, I expected more. I mean, the future of Ontario. I mean, it all had to do with money, like how to make money and more money. And it's, these are some of his predictions. Okay.
Okay.
The best one I liked is that the harpists are going to be in big demand. There just won't be enough harpists around. It's going to be like one of the number one forms of entertainment.
Yeah, over the next year or the next 10 years?
In the next year to 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. That AIDS will be solved. Okay.
What's that mean?
Well, cured, whatever.
Oh, okay.
But how the cure will be distributed, he says that's going to be a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. He says because I'm interested in studying longevity, I asked him, well, you know, is there going to be any breakthroughs concerning that kind of thing? And he said, yeah, when they did the research on AIDS, so I came up with a whole pile of other things concerning longevity,
yeah.
And they'll find a way to basically, he didn't say exactly immortal, but new fetuses and that kind of thing, I'll be able to program them or whatever. So, or alter the DNA so that they don't age. So, dig that.
I mean, they'll program the fetuses in the womb.
So he didn't go into specifics.
Okay. But well, that'll stop aging. Slow it down.
Yeah. And I said fusion is going to be a reality. It is a reality now. And the fellows that discovered it down at the University of Utah will be vindicated and... in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And he said that he's tended to concentrate on a lot of financial things concerning, like, buy condos in the periphery of the city, and then, you know, there'll be a mild recession, and just, fashion colors, you know, things like that, you know. But, hey, I don't know. It spent a lot of time. I brought up the part that I was sort of interested in. But a lot of it has to do with just money and investments and stocks and Bell Canada and that kind of thing.
Well,
but,
that's the excess, eh? They're powerful.
I was surprised. I mean, the tapes that you played in the past have been a lot more exciting. Maybe it's just you asking the questions, I suppose.
That's right. See, I'm having a private session with them tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then that's when the real hard stuff, the real dangerous stuff, gets talked about.
Uh-huh.
You're right. The audience evokes the kind of information, and you brought out what you wanted, but did the they didn't respond to questions when they talked about the money stuff. They just laid that out, eh?
Well, people had questions about investment, about a few people from the music business, and, you know, he basically said there'll be rap, rap, and more rap as far as what's hot, right? And it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
But it was a... And the questions that I asked concerned where research would be done on longevity and aging and things like that, you know. And the other people had questions about fusion and that kind of thing. So, but anyway, I guess I expected more. And what can I say? I, you know.
Yeah, well, see, you only paid $10-$25, right?
Well, it's true.
Yeah, and when I do my reading, man, it costs a lot of money.
I know, it's $450.
Yeah, and, you know, I got the money to do it, and I'll get my money's worth, right? I'm going to find out real details.
Yeah, well, there had been people that had been following this guy for years, like 13, 14 years.
Yeah, he started, supposedly, that's their line, because they came here in 88 under my sponsorship, but... They don't want people to know directly how connected they are to me, so they say they were here in 74, since 74, at the Mind Institute up on St. Clair Avenue. That's the cover story. Okay.
Well, apparently there were some people there who did know him back in 76, 78.
Well, yeah, they wrote.